Hallelujah. Can somebody just say how great is our God? How great is our God? How great He is, how excellent He is in everything that He does. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank You for this opportunity You've given us to come into Your presence. We give You glory, we give You honor, we give You praise. For it is by Your mighty hand that we have been able to make it to this place. Father, we just thank You for the lies that I hear. We just thank You for the agenda that You set out for us. We just thank You, O God, that You are an ever-present help in the time of trouble. We just thank You, O God, that You hear whenever we cry and You attend to our prayer. And Father, we say tonight, let all glory and all honor and all praise be given to You, O God, because You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. And Father, as we are in this place, our hearts are turned towards You and our minds are towards You. We are in one mind, we are in one spirit, and we are in one accord. And Father, we take Your word when You say it, where two or three are gathered in Your name, You are in the midst thereof. We give You, O God, a warm welcome for being in our presence, O God. We give You glory that our lives are going to be changed, for Your word says nothing remains unchanged in Your presence. Father, move us from one level of faith to another. From one dimension of understanding to another. Move us from glory to glory. Open up our eyes that we might see, our ears that we might hear, our hearts, O God, that we might comprehend, and that we might apprehend that which has apprehended us. Father, when everything is said and done concerning this gathering, all praise and all glory and all honor will be given to You. Father, all this we pray in the name of the author and the finisher of our faith, the high priest of our confession, the captain of our salvation, the kinsman redeemer, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world. Amen, amen, and amen. Somebody say hallelujah, hallelujah. Man, I always hear Dr. Pace speak about the weather. And I'm like, you're in Texas when you have all seasons in one day. It's hot, it's cold, it's rainy, it's everything in between in one day. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It's just a good place to be in. As you can see, Dr. Pace is not here tonight. He asked us to cover in his stead. And we are going to do the best that we can to deliver the message that God has given us. I've taken the liberty to put together a presentation for you so you can follow along with whatever I have. And I don't intend to be before you long. Give me about 45 minutes of your time. I promise you it's going to be worth it. Somebody say amen. Amen. And for tonight, our presentation is, can you handle the weight? Can you handle the weight? Capacity. Can you handle? Just tell your neighbor, ask your neighbor, can you handle the weight? Can you handle the weight? Psalm 115, we'll read from verse number 12, and I've got verse number 13 here. Verse number 13 says, He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Isaiah 54 from verse number 1 to verse number 5 from the New King James Version. Sing, O barren, you who have not borne, break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not labored with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent, and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For you shall expand to the right and to the left. And your descendants will inherit nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed. Neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame. For you will forget the shame of your youth and will not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. For your Maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth. Genesis 1, verse number 28 from the King James Version. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Before I end in the message tonight, I have a question for you. And the question I have for you tonight, the first one, because there are going to be several along the way. The first one is, do you have the capacity? Can you handle what God is about to bring into your life? What is capacity? There are various definitions that are given. Capacity is defined as the ability to receive, to hold, or to absorb something. It is the measure of your ability. It is the maximum amount that can be contained in a thing. It is the ability to perform or produce. We call it capability. It is the maximum or optimum amount that can be produced by a factory or an organization. It is also defined as the power to learn and to retain knowledge. We call that mental ability. It is the innate potential for growth, development, or accomplishment, or your faculties, which is similar as to your ability. It is also defined as the ability of being suitable for or receptive to specified treatment. This is the capacity of elasticity to be stretched. When you talk about, I think several years, weeks back, we spoke about elasticity, breaking point, and the yielding point. It is also defined as the legal qualification or authority. That is the capacity to make an arrest, the capacity to make a decision. You cannot make a decision concerning the city if you are not sitting on the city council. You cannot make a decision to affect the nation if you are not sitting in the branches of legislation in the nation. That's the capacity. Now, I've identified five different types of capacities. The first capacity is what I defined as the God capacity. That's the God's ability. God's ability to absorb, God's ability to know things, to absorb things, to understand things. And this God capacity is a capacity which is limitless. How many of us know that there's nothing that is impossible for our God? It's a limitless capacity. God has got unlimited resources. It's in a realm of limitless resources. There's unlimited faith in God. God can speak things and things can be as he has spoken them, even though they do not exist because of his capacity. Then there is a second level of capacity, what I call the full sonship capacity. This is the maximum capacity, what we are being molded into. We are being molded into the image and likeness of Christ. Be ye not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed. What are you being transformed into? The image and likeness of Christ. Then you have what I call the spirit-led capacity. That is beyond what you can do by yourself as an individual. You are being led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is leading you. He's working in you and working through you. That's the spirit-led capacity. Then you have what I call exceptional human capacity. That's where you have got the level where you have got your genius people. People that do exceptional things above what everybody else does. This is exceptional human capacity. People with a high IQs, eccentric people. They do things at exceptional human level capacity. Then you have ordinary Joes like us. We are operating at a normal capacity. That is ordinary capacity to everybody else which is there. However, we have to understand that we all have a measure of capacity. We all have a measure of ability. We have the capacity for development. We can improve for where we are. We have the capacity to manage resources depending on what measure we have been given. One was given one talent. The other was given two talents. The other was given five talents. It's a different measure of capacity to manage resources. We have different levels of capacity of understanding things. Different levels of receiving revelation, understanding revelation. There's a capacity for obedience and a capacity for faith. However,
there is an idea of perception. We have always been told that usually your perception is your reality. Coming from the perspective of perception, there are three different levels of capacity that I have identified. Number one is a desired capacity, where everybody else is striving to be operating at. That's what you desire, what you are aiming for, what you are targeting. But then you have a second level of capacity, which is the perceived capacity. So you have something that you desire, and you think you are operating at this level. It's a perceived capacity. It may not be the level that you're operating at, but you think you're operating at that level. Somebody say hallelujah. Hey, it's going to get good right in here just now. And then you have the actual capacity. This is the level that you are operating at. There is something that you desire, and there's a level that you think you're operating at. But this is the level that you're operating at, actual capacity. Now, there are different things that affect your ability. Different things that affect your capacity. You have within yourself just being a man, born of a woman, made from the ground, created by God as an offspring of Adam. There is an inherent limit to what you can do as an individual. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse number 9 says, "But as it is written, I have not seen, no ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him." It's just pointing to the fact that no matter how great your imagination is, no matter how great your hearing is, no matter how great your understanding is, there are some things you have not thought about, some things you have not heard about, some things you have not seen, but God has laid out for you. So just because you are a human being, there are some limits that are operating in you. And sometimes you find some limits to your capacity that are in the environment. You were born in a particular ward in the city. You were born on the particular side of the tracks. You were born on a particular side of the division. In that area, there is an environment that has been designed to limit what you can do. Somebody say hallelujah. It's going to get good just now. Then there is a limit that comes because of the resources that are available. How many of us know that it's very difficult in this day and age to be able to educate yourself with all the resources that are available in a third world nation as much as you can do in a first world nation if you apply yourself? So there's a limit in terms of what's available to you. There is a limit that comes in terms of what capital is available for you. Technology, revelation, education, finances, faith, obedience, physical ability, mental ability, the legal power to perform. These are all limits that limit what you can do. They limit your capacity. Then you also have ignorance. My people are destroyed for the lack of what? Knowledge. People are destroyed because they are ignorant. You are not aware of what you are entitled to. Because you are not aware of what you are entitled to, there is an inherent limit to what you can achieve. Oh, somebody just say hallelujah in here. But then sometimes they are demonic systems that are designed to particularly limit what you can achieve in life. And I want to cite an example here. Sometimes there's a demonic system that is designed to say that you are of a particular gender, you are of a particular race, you are of a particular nationality, and you can only achieve things at this level. But I want to let you know, saints of God, you and I were made in the image and likeness of God, not based on gender, not based on color, not based on nationality. And we are saying we are in the image and likeness of God, in a God to God, a God in whom there is no limits. Hallelujah. It's going to get good just now. Just give me a few minutes to work right here. Then you go to the parable of the sower, mentioned in Mark chapter number 4, Matthew 13, and Luke chapter number 8. You are given that there are different kinds of soil. It's just emphasizing the idea that there are limits. You are receiving the same seed, but the seed that you are receiving is going to be limited in terms of what it can produce. Not based on the quality of the seed, because the seed is the same, but it's based on the soil that is receiving the seed. Say, some fell by the wayside. Then there are external things that came and took away the seed that the wayside could not produce. There is also stony ground. Where you are, the stones are there. There's not enough soil. There's nothing to take root. You are not going to produce at your capacity. Then you also have thorny ground, because there are things that are issues of life that come and choke out the seed. Even though the seed will grow, but the thorns will also grow and choke the seed. So thorns are what I'm mentioning as systems that are designed to make sure whatever you receive is going to limit what you can do. No matter how educated you are going to find some external systems that are going to limit what you can do. They will limit the opportunities that are available. Oh, we're going to get good journey here just now. Then he spoke about the good ground. Even in good ground, there are different levels of capacity. You have got 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Now it's going to get good right in. I feel something just rumbling in my spirit. I'm going to preach by the time that my 45 minutes are over. Somebody say hallelujah. Nowadays, what we call human capacity development. That means you and I can be operating at a particular level, but there is a potential for us to be developed to go to a higher level. Where we are developing our capacity, we are enlarging, we are expanding, we are getting to a place where we go beyond our own abilities. And there is a process that I call human capacity development. This is the process by which individuals, groups, organizations, institutions, and societies develop their abilities, both individuals and collectively, to set and achieve objectives, perform functions, solve problems, and develop the means and conditions required to enable the developmental process. I'll explain what it means. Now, there are four things you have to consider when you talk about human capacity development. Number one, you have to address the individual. Number two, you have to address the collective group or an organization. Number three, you have to address sectors and networks. Like we talk about the seven pillars of human society, finances, family, education, etc., etc. Then you have to do things to develop the environment which the individuals are operating in to create an environment that is enabling for people to achieve the capacity. So now, let's get here. Now you have to understand that in this capacity development process, we said there are things that are available. There has to be education available. There has to be finances available. There has to be the manpower required. There has to be an investment required, infrastructure, etc., etc. That has to be put in place to improve the capacity. But there is one factor that must be accounted for in the development of your capacity, and that factor is the God factor. The God factor in the development of your capacity. Psalm 115 verse number 12 says, "The Lord has been mindful to us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron." Verse number 13, "He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great." I just came here tonight to let you know that God is about to lay something on you that is going to cause you to go beyond your abilities, that is going to cause you to go beyond your human limitedness. You are getting into a place of extraordinary power, into a place of extraordinary faith, into a place where the Bible says, "Those that know their God will do great exploits." You are getting into a place where a piece of dirt is molded by God, and God breathes his breath into that piece of dirt, and that piece of dirt becomes a living being. But God saying, "I am not finished yet," because God is about to speak a blessing over that thing. And when he speaks a blessing over that thing, he is going to authorize that thing to be able to produce, to be fruitful, to be able to multiply, to be able to subdue, to be able to take dominion. Just a piece of dirt with the breath of God, with the blessing of God, given the authorization to take charge over the works of his hands. The psalmist said, "Who is man that thou art mindful of him? But you made him a little lower than the angels, yet you give him charge over the works of your hands." Yes, with my breath and with my blessing, he can govern. Now it's going to get good in here. Isaiah 54 verse number 1 says, "Sing, O barren, you who have not borne. break forth into singing and cry out loud. For you who have not labored with child, for many are the children of the desolate. Now I want to say something here. Whenever you look at the idea of the word blessing, if you take time, just go and study it. It's a phenomenal word. We often use it in church, but we don't have a full understanding of what it means, of its significance. The word bless is actually used for the first time on the fifth day when God made the fish of the seas. And the Bible says, and God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Applying the law of first mention, that means the word bless or blessing is always going to be attached to the number five, and the number five is the number of grace. So the blessing that is coming upon you, it's not because of what you have done, it's because of the grace of God. You are not going to choose this. It's God who has determined in the councils of heaven that he is about to land this blessing on you. Are you ready to receive it? Do you have the capacity to receive it? You have to understand that on the sixth day, after God having formed man, the first thing that it did after breathing into him was to speak a blessing over him. That blessing attached to grace is the enabling power. That blessing attached to grace is given the authorization. Now you are authorized to multiply. Now you are authorized to subdue. Now you are authorized to have dominion. Watch this now. Adam had not done anything when God spoke the blessing over him. I want to let you know, as long as you are an offspring of Adam, there is a blessing spoken in Genesis 1 verse number 28 that is upon you. But the devil doesn't want you to know, doesn't want you to operate at that blessing. But I came here tonight to say, let your eyes be opened that you may see what God has laid on you. Let your ears be opened that you may hear what God has spoken over you. Because when you hear what God says, there is a level of faith that is going to rise up in you. For the word of God says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You will not supersede your capacity limits if you don't have the word of God. Because you are dealing with the word, you are dealing with the faith that is coming from a place that is limitless. Now, says now, the Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Can I just say it again? He is going to increase you more and more, you and your what? You and your what? So tonight, the blessing I'm speaking about is not a blessing just for you. It's a blessing to your children, a blessing to your children's children. You may not have some children right now, but I'm speaking to your loins. I'm speaking to the generations, five generations removed from you. They are still in your loins. God is going to bless them. God is going to bless them because the blessing is starting on you. This blessing, baby, is not a cheap blessing, because this blessing is coming from the Father from above. The Bible says every good thing, every good gift comes from the Father from above, the Father of lights, in whom there's no variableness, nor any shadow of turning. This is a generational blessing that is coming upon you. Your children are going to be mighty upon the earth, but it's starting with you. Now, here's a question that I want to ask you tonight. Can you handle the weight of the mantle that the blessing is coming upon you? Can you handle the weight of the blessing that God is about to lay on you? Can you handle the weight of the breakthrough that God is about to lay on you? You have been asking God, bless me. You have been asking God, enlarge me. You have been asking God, prosper me. You have been asking God, anoint me. You have been asking God, favor me. Can you handle the weight of what God is about to lay on you? I know again, because Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I say, God, tonight, whatever you desire to lay on me, I can handle the weight. I can handle the weight. I can handle the weight. And I say now to somebody in this room here, God is about to enlarge you. God is about to increase you. Can you handle the weight of the new title that is coming upon your life? Can you handle the weight of revelation that God is about to lay on you? Can you handle the weight of wealth that God is about to put on you? Can you handle the weight of wisdom that God is about to lay on you? Can you handle the weight of faith that God is about to lay on you? But the word of God says, Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. God, I say, let the mantle fall down from heaven. I can handle the weight, oh God. Increase my anointing. I can handle the weight, oh God. Increase your favor. I can handle the weight. Why? Because I am strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now I go a little bit deeper. Can you handle the weight of the office that God's going to lay on you when the blessing comes? Can you handle the weight of ministry that God's about to lay on you? Can you handle the weight of generations that are in your loins? Can you handle the weight of anointing? Can you handle the weight of responsibility coming on you? Now you can understand, when you say these different things here, everybody can clap your hands. Now let me show you, when I say, can you handle the weight of responsibility of the thing that God is about to lay on you? You have to understand that you are not wrestling with flesh and blood. You are wrestling with spirits, principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness. I have said all that to say this thing. Baby, you are not fighting against your children. You are not fighting against your husband. You are not fighting against your family. You are not fighting against your uncles. You are not fighting against your aunts. Now hear the thing now. If the blessing is about to land on you, somebody else is going to be blessed by association. Can you handle to see them being blessed? Can you handle seeing them being prospered because of you? For the life of me, I cannot understand why a mother would pray for God to bless their children and become jealous when God begins to bless them. I cannot understand for the life of me why you would pray for God to bless your city and God prospers the north side and the east side and you are in the middle and nothing seems to be happening in your life. Don't you know that the greatest blessing that can ever come upon a man is for God to answer his prayer? 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient. Listen, the grace I'm speaking about is not unmerited favor. The grace I'm speaking about is the enabling power. By myself, I cannot handle the anointing. But by the grace of God, I can operate in the anointing. By myself, I cannot handle the weight of revelation. I may just lose my mind. But by the grace of God, I will be contained, sanctified, and purified by the revelation that God is releasing on me. Can I go a little bit deeper? When God begins to lend this blessing on you, don't lose your mind. Don't lose your faith. Don't lose your faithfulness. Do not be afraid. Trust in God. Now hear what I want to, where I want to go right here. Do not lose your mind. Do not lose your faith. Do not lose your faithfulness. Do not lose your trust in God. Keep on trusting in God, because God is putting you in a season of capacity development. Now in that season of capacity development, it's not easy, because you are being asked to do what you are not able to do on your own. You are being asked to do something that you normally, ordinarily wouldn't go out and do. Can I tell somebody, is there anybody in this room who will choose affliction? Is there anybody in this room who will choose pain? Is there anybody in this room who will choose suffering? Is there anybody in this room who will choose temptation? Is there anybody in this room who will suffer, who will choose poverty? Is there anybody in this room who will choose insufficiency? Is there anybody in this room who will choose less anointing? Is there anybody in this room who will choose a warfare against the enemy? You don't choose, but God is saying, I am about to put you in a process of capacity development. There is some pain coming your way. There is some crying coming your way. There is some weeping coming your way. There are some things you are about to go through, but aren't you the one who makes the confession, all things work together for the good for them that love the Lord and that are called to according to the purpose of God? So keep on confessing. Yes, oh God, even this affliction is working for my far mighty, oh glory, upon my life, God. There are great things that are going to be revealed in me. No matter what I'm going through, oh God, I am ready to receive what you are about to place on me. God, they may hate me, but it's choosing and showing me that my trust is not in man, but my trust is in God. God, they may reject me, but I'm learning. I will look up unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. They may deny my application, but I am favored by God. They may reject what I want to do, but I am favored by God. I'm going to tell somebody here tonight, God is about to lend favor on you. And when you begin to appreciate, understand, and apprehend that favor, men are going to do what they normally wouldn't do. Why? Because he that has found favor with God will find favor with men. I tell you, in this season, if you believe that God is about to bless you, if you believe that God is about to enlarge your capacity, just go out and do what the Spirit is showing you. Go into a place, go to school, go and learn something. Start that business. Launch that ministry. Ask God for that blessing, because God is saying the capacity is coming. In the name of Jesus. Now when you begin to tell people, go and do what you normally wouldn't do, there is a fear. But Isaiah took care of that in the 54th chapter, in the 4th verse. Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed. Now I put that verse there to show you something. Because when you begin to do things, the fear is the fear of failure. But God is saying, do not be ashamed. Do not fear. You will not be ashamed. The next thing, the thing that holds us back from setting out what God is asking for us to do, is we regard people's opinions. But I pray that tonight, because of what God is about to lay on you, he is delivering you from the fear of the opinions of people, in the name of Jesus. Can I just go a little bit deeper? God is delivering you from people tonight, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. You have been afraid of people, but God is saying that fear is subsiding, that fear is falling to the ground. You are going to be like Abraham in his old age, calling himself father of many nations. You are going to be like Sarah, barren in all the fullness of the word, calling yourself a mother of many nations, and everybody else around you is going to be laughing at you. I'm starting this ministry, but you are too old. I'm starting this ministry, but you are too young. I'm starting this business, but you are poor. Yeah, baby, I came to tell you tonight, in the name of Jesus, do not be afraid, do not fear. God will not put you to be allowed to go into a place of shame. God is about to land a blessing on you. Just build the muscle, build the capacity to be able to receive everything in its full measure. Baby, I pray, God send me my sons. God send me my family. God send me a bloodline. I'm just prophesying to myself. Keep believing what God has said. Keep believing what God has said. Keep believing what God has said. The more I believe, the more I am enlarged. The more I believe, the more I am strengthened. The more I believe, the more I am being transformed. The more I believe, the more radical I become. The more I believe, the more the word shapes me. The more I believe, the more my heart is changed. The more I believe, the more my vision is restored. The more I believe, the way I talk changes. Now here is the matter. I said God is about to lend a blessing on you. Some of you are going to receive the Genesis 1:28, the blessing of God upon your life, unmerited, undeserved, but chosen by God. But some of you are going to get into a place where you have to wrestle with God in this season and say, God, I will not let you go until you have blessed me. Even if the night, God, the day breaks, oh God, I will not let you go until you have blessed me. God, in intercession, I will travail, I will mourn, I will groan, I will cry, I will scream, I will speak your word, but I will not let you go until you have blessed me, oh God. I know that my son is on drugs, but God, I will travail, I will cry. I will not let you go, God, until you are blessed. Now, you have to understand that in that day, Jacob, the Bible says, was on his way back to his father's land. On his way, he knew that he was going to have an encounter with Esau. And he was afraid to go and encounter with his brother because of what had happened at the transaction, the transference of the blessing. When the father pronounced the blessing over them, he was dressed as Esau, but the voice was like the voice of Jacob. So as long as Jacob was walking upon the land, a thief, a heel grabber, that's what he was always known. But on this day, Jacob understood, if you go into a place and encounter Saul or Esau, your brother, you are going to die because you are a thief. Said he sent his assembly up ahead and he stayed behind. And he had an encounter with God. And the Bible says he began to wrestle with God. And he says, let me go. I am about, the day is about to break. Let me go. And Jacob said, I will not let you go until you have blessed me. Now watch this now. He asked for a blessing and the angel said, what is your name? I'm Jacob. No longer shall you be called Jacob. You shall be called Israel. Why? You shall no longer be called a heel grabber. You shall no longer be called a thief. But you are going to be called a prince with God. Oh, Shabarandi, Yabakarahaya. Though we may be on our way to meet Esau, it's no longer the thief or the heel grabber. Now it's one who is a prince with God. That means God elevated Jacob above Esau. And Esau could not kill Jacob because it's coming at a higher level as Israel. I'm here to tell somebody tonight, God is about to change your name. You are no longer a beggar. You are no longer a borrower. You are no longer the tail. God is about to elevate you. You are moving. You are getting into a place now where you are going to be walking with your head held up high. Because in this season, you are going to wrestle with God and you are not going to let God go until God has blessed you. Now understand this. After having been told your name shall no longer be called Jacob, your name shall be called Israel, the Bible said he will cause something to go off in his socket and he began to walk differently. Because whenever you engage with God at the level that I'm speaking of, at the level of blessing that's about to come, whenever you engage with God at that level, you are not going to walk the way you were walking before. So I'm here to tell somebody tonight, your walk is about to change. Why? Because your previous walk cannot handle the weight that God is laying on you. Anybody hearing me? Because when you are going to be a prince with God, it's a prince with God, not a prince of God, but a prince with God. You are going to require to walk with God and not walk under God. Walk with God day and night. If you are walking with God, which means you are going to have the capacity to handle what God is about to lay on you. So I'm saying tonight, somebody, your walk is about to change when you wrestle with God in this season. And as you begin to walk, it's about to change. Walk with your head held up high because you are going to see beyond your natural abilities. You are going to see beyond your natural capacity. You are moving into the God class capacity. You are going to walk and see things that are not there yet, but by faith they are. You are getting into a place where you are able to call those things that are not as though they were. Oh, by the way, that means you cannot go to that club anymore because you have been wrestling with God. Now Isaiah 54:3 says, for you shall expand to the left, to the right. Say it again. You shall expand to the left and to the what? Just say it over yourself. I will expand to the left and to the right. I will expand to the left and to the right. I will expand to the left and to the right. Why are you asking me to say that over and over and over again? Because your spirit man needs to hear that enlargement is here. Your spirit man needs to hear that the blessing has your runway locked in. God is about to land this thing on you. God is about to land this thing on you. So I'm going to give you a few things about preparation and I'm done. Write that business plan. Start that business. If you have to enroll for college, do it. Because the blessing is about to land on you. If you are called into ministry, go right ahead and join that ministry. If you have been thinking about writing the book, write the book now. Because the breakthrough is about to land on you. But that breakthrough will be of no value to you if there's no book to sell. Anybody hearing me? Write that book. Seek the face of God like never before because of what God is about to land on you. Pray for that child. Pray for that husband. Pray for that wife because God is about to land on you. The Bible says you walk by faith and not by sight. 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 You walk by faith and not by. I'm going to put it as a necessary rhyme. You walk by faith and not by sight. You walk by faith and not by sight. You walk by faith. I'm going to tell myself every day. I look at things around me. Things are not testifying to what God is saying. I am not going to complain. I'm going to tell myself. You walk by faith and not by sight. You walk by faith and not by sight. Your car is breaking down. You walk by faith and not by sight. The food is low in the house. You walk by faith and not by sight. I am not going to complain. I'm going to believe what God has said. I am going to expand to the left and to the right. It may seem impossible, but I am moving to a place of God capacity where there are no limits. There are no boundaries. Into a place where I say, God, land it on me. I conclude by reading Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever ask or think. Imagination is one of the wombs of the spirit. And it's good once in a while for you to imagine. So I'm going to give you an assignment for a few seconds. I got about 5 minutes. And here's your assignment. Can you just imagine what your life is going to be after the blessing? Okay, just imagine. After the enabling grace of God. Just imagine. Just take a few minutes. Just think about it. What it's going to look like. What it's going to look like. I told the service last night. Say, you know, I can borrow the words of Martin Luther King. I've been to the mountaintop and I've seen the promised land. I'm saying here tonight in my imagination, I've been to the mountaintop. I have seen where God intends to take me. And I told them, it will be for your advantage years from now for you to know me right now. They were laughing at me. I'm like, because if you see what I've seen about me,
you want to be my friend right now. That way you can say, I walked with him through the journey for God taking him there. Because see, when you don't know me, it's going to be difficult to know me, because there are going to be people around me. And my time is going to be valuable when I get there. But if you know me, you are an old friend, there will always be time for you. So it behooves you to know me right now. Because God is about to enlarge. So you're finishing my house, saying all this stuff, buying you time for your imagination. I know what I imagine my life to be like. But Ephesians 3:20 says, no, one we just read, Ephesians 3:20. What God wants to do is beyond what you have imagined. Because your imagination is limited by your experience. So forget what you have imagined. Embrace what God has planned. May the Lord, according to Genesis 24, verse number 1. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age. And the Lord blessed Abraham in all. The conclusion of the matter that began in Genesis chapter number 12, verse number 1. In blessing, I will bless you. I will make your name great. I will make you a great nation. And 12 chapters down the road, God concludes the matter by a testimony that God blessed Abraham in all things. So I'm here to say tonight, may that be the conclusion of the matter on your life, that God blessed you in all things. That God blessed you in all things. I'm going to say it again. May that be the conclusion of the matter, that God has blessed you in all things. And Perkins, why do you say that? Because he who has begun a work in you, he is faithful to complete what he has begun. So for God, capacity is not an issue. He has a process to develop you. So all the pain, all the affliction is working for your good to enlarge your capacity. And the Lord is saying, strengthen your cords, enlarge your tents. Do not doubt the word of God. Just believe. He that cometh to God must believe, Hebrews 11, verse number 6, that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Can we all stand?